Mr. Boone, good morning, pal. Thank you for being on today.
Top of the morning, Mr. Ryder. It is great to hear your voice and talk some NBA draft.
Top of the morning to you too. All right, so what is Cooper Flagg is going to be the first pick? The Dallas Mavericks are going to be the team that select him. I was in the draft room when they got the news, and I saw the look of contempt on several of the other team's representatives' faces when that outcome happened. What is the ceiling here? How good can this dude be?
Yeah, you know, so I've scouted prospects, Bill, for now 10 years. I have a pretty lengthy database of, you know, hundreds of NBA prospects. Cooper Flagg is the second highest graded prospect in my database, and only behind Victor Wembanyama. He is someone who, according to my database, projects as a future Hall of Famer. And you know, I know that feels like just crazy lofty expectations, but that is realistic in his range of outcomes for an NBA player. He is so good on defense as a game changer, a game wrecker, and he does everything at such a high level. Similar to, I talked to a scout here recently, he said, kind of like Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't completely wow you like a Zion Williamson with his athleticism. He doesn't have the crazy length that Victor Wembanyama has, but you know, this is a guy who led Duke to 35 wins. They went to the Final Four. He led that team in scoring and assists, in steals and blocks and rebounds. He just does everything at such a high level that, you know, I feel very confident that he's going to be a multi-time All-Star, potential future Defensive Player of the Year winner, and someone who, you know, if things break right and if he's able to stay healthy, can be a future Hall of Famer.
Kyle, we saw Victor Wembanyama's impact, you know, year one, fine, good, year two before he got hurt. I mean, the Spurs were markedly better than people thought. Certainly could have competed for a play-in spot. How quickly, and obviously this is somewhat roster-dependent, but this is a Mavs team with all the ridicule that is directed, and maybe rightfully so, at trading away Luka Doncic, that still has some players on that roster. They do have Anthony Davis. Kyrie Irving's not going to play this year, much of this year, but he's going to be there for 3 years. How quickly on that team, if you are right about Cooper Flagg, how quickly can he have a real impact? Even if that means, you know, Dallas and a crowded Western Conference is fighting for a playoff spot each year.
I think pretty quickly. There's going to be a probably Wembanyama-esque realization early in his career where he is producing at such a high level and having such a winning impact that people are going to go, oh, wait, you know, this is not a, hey, we got to wait a couple years and then we can kind of crescendo to reach the peak of, you know, when Cooper Flagg is eventually in his prime. He's going to be ready to impact winning right away. And, you know, the counting stats may not necessarily show it, but this is a guy who led college basketball in box plus minus, player efficiency rating. Like, he's so efficient at everything. And, you know, obviously this Dallas situation is very interesting, where they've got some quality pieces. This is not a team that, you know, on talent should be the number one pick, just because this is a team that is not far removed from making a really deep playoff run. So, you know, I think we'll find out pretty early in his career that Dallas is going to have a player who is wrecking things on both ends and is a winning player. So the Mavs are going to be back in the playoffs sooner than I would imagine, and I think that should just be kind of the expectation as he enters a new situation in the NBA.
The outstanding Kyle Boone here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. This is the Infinity Sports Network, and this show, for better or worse, is called Ryder Than You. I did not come up with it, but that's the name of the show. Ace Bailey is a very talented player, Kyle, as you know, and you can tell us to what degree he is or isn't talented by the standards of this draft and a top pick in this draft. He's obviously made some headlines for the way in which he's gone about his pre-draft process. Players have not been afraid to weigh in and rip the dude. What do you make of his approach to the draft, and what do you make of his value versus however this is going to impact where he goes?
Yeah, he certainly made headlines, and for, you know, reasons that maybe you don't want to make headlines leading up to the NBA draft. He canceled a private meeting and workout with Philadelphia last week. So far, he has declined to meet or work out for Charlotte or Utah. Philly, of course, has the number three pick, Charlotte, the number four pick, Utah, the number five pick. And, No, he's represented by Omar Cooper, who doesn't have a lot of high-profile clients in his Rolodex. This is a situation where, it appears he is trying to steer his client to one or multiple destinations on the East Coast, whether that's Washington or Brooklyn or even New Orleans. Those three teams have picks 6 through 8 right now. So the way that he's done this, I think, has definitely irked some people. I know Paul George, who's with the 76ers, talked about it and said, like, it's just not a good look. This is player empowerment to an extreme. And we're talking about someone who, at CBS Sports, we rank as the number 3 overall prospect. But, I think when you see players take agency in their own situations, it definitely irks some people in the NBA, and especially just given the fact that he's not played a minute in the NBA to some degree. Even if he is a fantastic prospect, I can understand why people some may be confused about it. And I think as a result, Bill, he may end up slipping out of the top 5 on draft night, which was not a reality that I thought was possible even as recently as just a couple weeks ago.
So for people, Kyle Boone, who don't know, right, who are listening, who are going, well, why, if you're Philly, if you're drafting at 3 or 4, why not just draft the guy if he's that good? Why is it that the ability for teams like Philadelphia to go through the proper process is important to them?
Yeah, this is all part of like the due diligence process. Now, it's pretty clear if Philly picked Ace Bailey at number 3 tonight, I'd be like a little bit surprised, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I think it's very possible. These teams do homework on players years and years and years in advance. A lot of teams have already known about Ace Bailey dating back to his high school career. They knew about him and scouted him and talked with him throughout his 1 year at Rutgers. So, I think the pre-draft process is a formality, but to cancel after already scheduling, I think probably rubbed particularly Philly the wrong way. And I think it's just kind of, I think, a way to show that you can be cordial and casual and handle your business the right way, and not showing that you can meet with teams or even conduct private workouts. I think it just, again, it shows maybe the fact that we're talking about a teenager who's maybe a little bit immature. And for NBA teams, if they believe that, Ace Bailey or and VJ Edgecombe, for example, are similar prospects, they may take a guy who is easier to work with. And maybe that is why VJ Edgecombe ends up, going number 3 or ahead of Ace Bailey on draft night.
Kyle, there's no absolutes, obviously, in NBA drafts. I mean, Zion, right? You can just sort of go through the list. First pick, 7th pick, 15th pick, you never know. But this is considered a really, really deep and really, really good draft. As best you can guess, how many game changers, cornerstones, all-stars, whatever, however you want to frame this, how many great potential players are there in this draft when we look back 5 years later?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of depth in this class. I think we've already seen quite a few teams showing interest in possibly acquiring second round picks, in part because they are cheaper contracts and a lot of teams are trying to skirt tax bills, but also because there is a lot of depth. I think we also, fairly or not, always judge a draft based off the high level talent, the all-stars that it produces. And I think there's realistically 3 or 4 in this class. Cooper Flagg, he's an auto. Dylan Harper, who I believe will be the number 2 pick, go to the Spurs tonight, I think is a future all-star. I think there's conflicting opinions once you get beyond the top 2. Ace Bailey, some believe could be an all-star. Some also believe his kind of selfish style of play. He's very a scoring aggressive type of scoring wing, who has the kind of a low assist rate. May not translate to winning. There's varying opinions on that. You go through the list. Trey Johnson, VJ Edgecombe, like these are going to be top 5 picks who, I think have a very good chance of being future NBA starters, but there's conflicting opinions on whether they can be all-stars. So there's a number of potential game changers at the top of this class. And Bill, as you know, as always, there's going to be guys who end up going, outside the top 5 or even outside the lottery who end up becoming stars. That is kind of just the nature of the NBA draft.
Yeah, and that's it's a great point, and it sort of leans right into what I was just thinking, Kyle Boone, while you were talking. Steph did not fit those parameters. Obviously, Jokic and Giannis didn't even come close to fitting the parameters of a top five pick. Is there a name or two? I know it's not a lock, but is there a name or two that'll fall outside of the top five or the top 10 or the top 15, whatever it is, that if in 5 years they are a superstar, you won't be utterly shocked?
Yeah, there's a couple actually that come to mind here. One is Jace Richardson from Michigan State. And if that name sounds familiar to your listeners, it's because he's the son of a former NBA star, Jason Richardson, who won a dunk contest when he was in the NBA. He played one season at Michigan State. There was a lot of steam around him that he could be a potential top 10 pick. Goes to the NBA Combine, measures just over 6 foot. I think has kind of blunted some of the optimism around him, but he was one of the most efficient freshmen in college basketball last season. He's a really dynamic scorer who can do a number of different things. His wingspan is actually pretty good, especially for his position and only measuring at just over 6 foot without shoes. I think he could end up being like a true starting level guard in the NBA with room to grow into a little bit more. And I love guys who have that pedigree, who have, you know, fathers who played in the NBA or played professionally or even at the college level. Richardson, to me, checks a lot of boxes. Another one that I think is rising pretty steadily here over the last month, and I know you were at the Combine, so you know this name, it's Cedric Coward, who began his career at the Division III level, ended up transferring to Eastern Washington last season, spent 1 year at Washington State, and only played in 6 games because of an injury. But he committed to Duke in the offseason, and you know, basically over the last month went from this guy's going to be a really good quality piece for a Duke team next season to, okay, this guy could be a lottery pick, and he's 6'5", he's got a 7'2 wingspan, career 39% three-point shooter. I think he could go in the top 10 tonight on draft night, and that is a meteoric rise for someone who, you know, as recently as a month ago was, you know, barely projected as a second round pick. And I think the sky is the limit for him as far as his NBA potential.
That is awesome. It's such a great story. Kyle, let me end here and let me say thank you. This is such a busy day for you. Amazing for you. Thank you for making time. The Brooklyn Nets have a bevy of picks in this draft. I mean, they have a lot of picks, and who knows what they're going to do with them, but how does or how should having this many picks in this draft, what is it, 5 in the first round, how can that impact decision-making or approach in a draft that we know is this deep?
Yeah, no, it's going to be very interesting. They have 5 first-round picks going into tonight, and you know, talking with people in NBA circles, I think there's kind of a belief that they may offload multiple of these, or maybe they just end up keeping them. I think we'll see. There is a value inherent to the draft in having flexibility going into draft night. There is a power that you have going into a draft, knowing that you have 5 first-round picks. And, you know, Brooklyn needs the talent. Let's be clear. Like, this is a team that, you know, won 25 games, I believe it was, last season. So they have a chance to completely remake themselves. And, you know, just earlier this week, we saw the Oklahoma City Thunder win the NBA championship with, you know, pieces that included Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously. But, you know, they hit on a late lottery pick in Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. They hit on a top 2 pick in Chet Holmgren. And those were the foundational pieces of an NBA champion. I think if you're Brooklyn, you're looking at that blueprint hoping, hey, these guys are all on rookie deals, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren. We can build kind of the plane around, you know, hitting on guys in the NBA draft. If we do things right, if we handle our business the right way on draft night, this could be us in a few years if we make the right decisions around the margins. So Brooklyn entering the night has a ton of power, a ton of flexibility, and that is what you want if you're an NBA franchise going into draft night.
Kyle Boone, you are the absolute best. People listening should follow Kyle on Twitter at KyleTheBoone, which is such a great, what a great Twitter handle. Actually, Kyle the Boone. I'm sure I'm not the first to make that joke. Thank you, buddy. Great stuff, great insight, and good luck today and enjoy draft night.
Great talking with you, Bill. Have a great day.